Chats from the Blog Cabin.
This is your favorite time of the week with your number one podcast.
Hey y'all, welcome back. It's Melissa. I'm going to give you a little brief context about this particular show. I had actually recorded this show back, I think, a couple months ago, but I decided to hold on to it because I wanted to do some Christmas content that was not always about the things that are the greatest things for with holidays. You know, everybody thinks holidays, everybody's like family time, get together, but not a lot of people think and look forward to getting together in the holidays with family and friends. A lot of bad things happen with family and friends. This particular episode, personally, has not affected me, but I know there are people out there that are affected by this episode, and holidays can be very triggering for them. This particular episode is about children that are molested or touched by people that they consider family or friends, and how it's okay for them to, for children to be able to have a voice and for them to be able to listen and for people to listen and hear their story and know that if you're healing from this kind of trauma, my heart goes out to you. I have my own family stuff that's hard and I'm dealing with that right now. But it's nowhere near the trauma, that happens, but there's still childhood trauma. So with that particular episode, I wanted to kind of shed light that sometimes holidays aren't that, what's the word I'm looking for, great for some people, and that they are triggers. And with that, I really hope you really enjoyed this informative episode. The last couple of episodes have been all about making sure that we're personally safe, that we're mentally safe, and now physically safe, and the safety of our children as well, because they're our most precious assets. So with that said, I hope you enjoy, or not enjoy, enjoy I think is the wrong word, but I hope you glean information that you need on this episode. Thanks. Are you ready for an exciting adventure in the world of do-it-yourself project? Join me on market.live and get ready to be inspired by the DIY show hosted by yours truly, Melissa from Chats in the Blog Cabin. This is your chance to unlock your creativity and bring your imagination to life. Imagine the satisfaction of transforming ordinary objects into something extraordinary. Get ready to learn new skills and discover how easy it can be to create something unique that reflects your own personal style. The DIY show is here to guide you with every step of the way, providing you with tips, tricks, and ideas that will make your projects a success. Don't miss out on this incredible opportunity. Grab your friends, family, or even your furry companions and tune into the DIY show on market.live on Mondays at noon Eastern Standard Time, or you can catch the replay. Together, let's unleash our inner artist and embark on a journey filled with joy, inspiration, and endless possibilities. Get ready for a show like no other, where creativity knows no bounds. See you there!
Come join Melissa and her guests on the Chats from the Blog Cabin podcast. From North Carolina, this podcast will have you feeling like you've known these folks for years. Listen in as they chat about life, culture, current events, and more, all with a special Southern flair. Curl up with your favorite beverage and get ready to be entertained. Tune in now for a unique experience that's fun and insightful.
Hey y'all, welcome back to another episode of Chats from the Blog Cabin. You know, the show where I virtually invite people into the Blog Cabin to chat about life. And today we're chatting with Dr. Tiffany Tate. She is the author. She's a retired OBGYN and a U.S. Navy veteran. So thank you, first of all, for your service. I'm really big on about thank you veterans for their service. But she's also an author of a book that's very important called Bad Touching. But before we get into what you do, tell us a little bit about yourself, Tiffany.
Well, thank you for having me and allowing me to be here and to talk about this important subject. And I just consider myself as a servant of the people and I am a Christian author, and I just believe that my service is to make the world a better place. And I think any and everybody can do that, no matter what your religion is. And I think we just need to get back into that purpose. As a child growing up in Compton, I did not grow up with my parents because they had issues with drug abuse. At the age of 2, my aunt raised me. My mother was one of 12 children. My grandmother believed in being fruitful and multiplying. And I was lucky enough to not be a victim of the system because my aunt had a big heart. So while she had 2 children of her own, she was already a single parent. She was willing to raise me. And she taught me the art of giving back and just helping other people. Unfortunately, I was victim of abuse as a child, and I didn't say anything until I was an adult. Oh, I'm sorry, I forgot to take the phone off the hook.
That's okay.
And so basically, I was victim of abuse as a child. And so, as an adult, I realized that I did not want that to happen to other people. And I figured out, okay, what can I do to help other people not fall victim to that? But growing up, I used to volunteer with my church mission, and I saw sick people, and I wanted to help feed them all the time. And I realized that wasn't feasible. I was really good at math and science, and I figured out, okay, I'll become a doctor instead.
Yeah, because, I mean, obviously, becoming a doctor and then being a U.S. Navy veteran, and then now you're a children's book author, that is kind of like a multifaceted career, correct?
Yes, yes. I took the road less traveled, definitely. And it is amazing because when I went to college, I always loved writing. I always excelled in English. And I thought I initially majored in English. Or I started as an English major with a focus in biology. And I met with my professor or advisor at UC Santa Barbara. And I said, I plan to become a teacher to pay my way through medical school. And he laughed in my face. And he was like, oh, sweetie, teachers never will make enough money to pay through medical school. And he said, if you want to be a doctor, you just need to major in science. So I switched my major from English to biology. And then later I switched it from biology to cellular and developmental biology with a Black Studies minor, just because I liked political science issues and things like that. So then after I was in medical school, I did research and I kind of focused on breast cancer research and I did a lot of different things. But while in medical school, I didn't have the money. As I said, I was raised by a single parent who already had 2 other children. And I received my first letter saying how much I was going to owe, and I was struggling to pay through medical school. And I was looking for different scholarships. And there were lots of scholarships out there, but I always believed in service. And what better service was there other than to my country? And I could have joined different branches. I really liked what the Navy had to offer. So I joined the Navy to help pay for medical school.
Yeah, I love that. I love the fact that you, not only just your service, you were taught service at a very young age. You know, you saw it, you knew you wanted to do that, but you decided, hey, to pay for medical school, I'm going to serve my country. So I think that's pretty awesome. Now, your personal experience as a child, can you tell us a little bit about it? I mean, you don't have to go into the whole thing, but what prompted you to write this book, correct?
Yes, I felt that I did not want other children to suffer in silence. And I knew that it was time to expose what was there. And I felt that children needed an avenue and a voice and a way to help speak out, because I think that children don't know how, and especially with what's going on in the world, I think that what happened earlier this year with the Dalai Lama is a critical example, because as the whole world saw, that poor child went up on stage, and a lot of predators, they take advantage of children's innocence. And that child went on stage and they gave him a hug. You know, the Dalai Lama, you know, asked him for a hug. And he said, okay. Then the Dalai Lama asked him for a kiss on the cheek. And the kid said, okay. And everyone's just looking like, oh, okay, that's cute. Then the Dalai Lama asked for a kiss on the lips. And everybody's looking in shock because no one was prepared for that. And this is all out in front of the cameras. And the kid gives him a kiss on the lips. And the cameras are still rolling and everybody's watching.
And we have lost. Okay, you're okay. Back.
Okay. Then the Dalai Lama asked for a kiss. I mean, asked the young man or the child for him to suck his tongue, and the child does it in front of the cameras. And if the Dalai Lama has the audacity to do all these things in front of the camera, can you imagine what he's doing behind closed doors? And he did not apologize until a month later when this video surfaced. So this is what a person with prestige is doing. Imagine what predators behind closed doors are doing. And in my book with Lily and Linda, it's a rhythmic story because I'm a poet. I really like poetry. And so it's a rhythmic story that relates to a mother who has two kids, two daughters, and basically they go and they talk to they go to an assembly and they learn how to deal with the situation because they have this mother who they've been living with, and she finally meets a man and she's in love with this man, and they don't want to tell their mom because they don't want to upset her when he starts to touch them inappropriately because they see that their mom is happy, and they don't know what to do because they want to keep every adult in their life happy. And that's a lot of times what happens with kids. They are put in situations where they don't know what to do because they're taught to respect authority, and then they're taught that, okay, we need to do what's right. We need to respect authority. And we always say, oh, go give that person a kiss. Oh, go give that person a hug. So are we perpetuating these things?
Well, that is a good question. And we're going to take a brief commercial break, but then we'll be right back.
Hi, my name is Joanna, and I would like to share with you a little bit about Shores of Grace, Shores Philly. It's a ministry located in Philadelphia. The portion of Shores that I volunteer for goes into Kensington, an area greatly impacted by homelessness and addiction. And we go and we take love, food, clothing, snacks, conversation. We believe that it is a way that we can meet people right where they are and show them the love of Jesus. We have seen lives changed in big ways and in small ways, and we have built wonderful relationships with the people in the community. We have big plans, more we'd like to do, and we would appreciate any support, either through prayer or through donation. If you would like to donate, you can go to shoresofgrace.com, and in the menu, click on donate. And we just ask that you put Philly in your donation comments. Thank you.
And we are back with Dr. Tiffany Tate. One of the things I really love about this book is that you have that desire to educate children about the safe people. So let's talk about some of the safe people that children can talk to, how they can recognize a safe person to talk to.
I think that a lot of times we don't talk about who is safe. If it is the person who is hurting you, that's not a safe person. I think that there are mandatory reporters, and in the story, they go to the assembly and they learn who some of the mandatory reporters are, like people at school, your teacher, the school nurse, anyone at school is a mandatory reporter, anyone at church is a mandatory reporter. And if there's someone in your family, you can talk to them as well, but the reality is sometimes people in your family, they're more concerned about keeping the secret. And I think it is important that we protect our child. And if someone comes to you, or if your child or your niece or your nephew or anyone in your family comes to you and says that they've been touched, you should listen to them, you should respect that, and you should investigate it a little bit further, because it takes a lot of bravery for them to make that accusation.
Yeah, because a lot of times children really don't know what is bad touching and what isn't. You know, you have to educate them first, what is a bad touch, and people that are touching. Like, you're talking about the little kid with the Dalai Lama not really knowing. You know, he's just doing what he's told to do and not really knowing that that's something that's really making him uncomfortable, not realizing, hey, this is not supposed to happen. So you got to educate your kids first for that, correct?
Absolutely, absolutely. And pediatricians recommend you start teaching them around the age of 5. But I say the sooner the better. When you start teaching them how to wash their bodies themselves, that's when you should start teaching them, okay, this is your private area. This is the area that you should respect, and no one should be touching you there unless they're washing you there, and you should protect that area.
And let's talk about, as you were writing this book and as you were promoting this book, something happened to you as well in a doctor's office.
Absolutely. When I first put the book out, it came out in December of last year. And I was like, okay, here, I'm just going to put it out and put it on the shelf, and I'm not going to advertise it. I was just like, okay, here you go. If it takes off, it takes off. If not, that's fine. And in January, I was at my acupuncturist office, and I was assaulted by a person who worked there. And I was in shock. I was in awe. And I kind of reverted to that child who was assaulted as or molested as a child. And I felt convicted, because at that time I realized, no, I have to use my voice, because at this point, I'm a grown woman now. I am a physician. And how dare he, how dare this man try to take advantage of me? I didn't ask for it. I have my clothes on. And this is completely and utterly unacceptable. And I will not stand for it. So at this point, I of course, I was in shock. I had issues. I went through therapy. I contacted the manager. He was fired. I contacted the police. I did a police report, and I actually used the voice that I did not have. And I felt convicted, because as a child, I didn't say anything till I was in my 40s, and I'm still in my 40s. I'm not going to say my age. But it was a wake up call, and I felt, okay, I do need to publicize this book. And as I began to talk to people, even within my church, I found that this book was healing, not only for me as an adult, but for other women who have been assaulted as children, because they were reading my book and finding it therapeutic, because some of them had been molested as children and had not dealt with their pain. And they were coming to me, and they were crying, and they were talking. And so I found that while it was helpful for children, it was also helpful for other adults. And one of my sorority sisters gave this book to a friend of hers, and her son, after reading the book, reported that her boyfriend had molested him. And while I was very sad and she was tearful, she was thankful, because now she could take steps to protect her son. So while the story is about two little sisters, it's not necessarily about two girls. It is about children protecting themselves. So it's not a gender-based book. It is a child-based book. And because it's so easy to read, I know this is a difficult subject for parents to have. So it's a book that you can give to your child, and it opens the door for them to come. And it's a safe door, because it's so simple. It's so easy for them to look at it and to read it and to come to you and to feel safe coming to you. So it makes the parent an easy person to talk to, or the guardian an easy person to talk to.
So what I'm getting, and what I want to hit on what you said when you talked about the book, and you talked about you wrote it and it sat on the shelf, and then that experience happened to you at the acupuncturist and you felt like a little child again, you know, all that stuff coming back up. And then you're like, no, that courage to just, I want to applaud you, first of all, number one, for writing the book. Number two, for taking that courage and stepping out, because a lot of women still nowadays, a lot of people, not just women, but a lot of people, when they're abused, they just sit back and they just feel like they have to take it. And they don't, they keep the victim mindset and they never get over it. Whereas you said, no, I'm not going to take it anymore. And you started standing up for yourself. So I want to applaud you for that. But that little trigger of that happening, saying, okay, now I'm going to push this out more into the world and I'm going to publicize it. That must have been like a huge, like, I don't know, something off, like a rock off your shoulder or something, like a big, like, relief to you to actually come out and publicize it, because you wrote it and you put it on the shelf.
It, I call it verbal vomit. And so this is my little bad touching book, you know, with the two little girls. And it is therapeutic, because it was like, bleh, just getting it up, getting it out. And it was like a true release to just let go. And so you see Lily and Linda just on their horses, just riding along and just getting it up, getting it out, and truly letting it go. And it's been in me for so long. And sometimes we just truly have to let it go, because when you hold it on and you let it fester, it only hurts you. And sometimes the only way to truly move forward is to let go. And even with the person who assaulted me in January, the only way I was going to get over it and move past it was to put forward and let it go.
So what is up next for you? Are you planning on taking this book on tour and going to schools and talking about this? Or what is your plans for this book next?
I am open and everything. I have been reaching out to different organizations who discuss child abuse, trying to link up with them to just get the word out there, because I think that this is an important subject. And I have been talking to different pediatricians, trying to get my book in their office to just let it sit on the counter, so when kids come in, because I think it's more important to just get this out there. I am more concerned about education. My book was in the London Book Fair. And again, I am also trying to be in the Inland Empire workshop to present and to talk to different librarians to just educate people. And so anytime I can get out and speak, I'm all for it. And I'm just trying to educate people anywhere, any way possible. I'm also going to be at the LA County Taste of Soul that's coming up with my books. So I'm out there trying to get the information. And starting tomorrow, I will be on the radio.
Oh, wow.
Once a week on Wednesdays on NBC podcast. And I will be trying to bring this up on a weekly basis to try to spread the word. So my goal is to educate the public as much as possible.
Yeah, and that education, it may stop the cycle of abuse, because most of the time research has found that most of the people that are abusing have been abused themselves. So maybe once they heal from that, they realize that's not, that behavior that they learned is not something that's acceptable. So they'll stop that behavior and maybe the cycle of abuse will stop.
Absolutely. You either adhere to it or you're repulsed by it. Those are the two options. So hopefully we can get them to the point where they are repulsed by it and stop.
So what are some of the signs that parents should look for if their child is like, they're not sure if they're being abused, you know, because I know, like you said you suffered in silence, but are there some things that maybe parents or maybe some adults can look at children and kind of pinpoint something's off?
I think if their child begins to be withdrawn, if they see a change in behavior, a change in attitude, sometimes they'll see just a sudden withdrawalness. And a lot of times, especially if they're a teenager, they're like, oh, it's just a teenager. But a lot of times it's not that it's just them being a teenager. They can sometimes pick up on different subtleties that their child isn't being themselves anymore. And they may want to have a sit down conversation and say, hey, is everything okay? Is there anything you want to talk to me about? Mm-hmm. Especially if someone new has entered the environment. Mm-hmm. Or a different friend, or if they started going over to a friend's house or a new person's house. And I think it's important to not just discount those things because, you know, stranger danger is real. We used to talk to children about that. With social media, predators are out there and they lure innocent kids as well as teenagers. I even had a case where a teen was being molested by her mom's fiance, and it didn't come out until later in court. And it was my physical exam that verified it, but the teenager was trying to cover it up. And I was like, this is not consistent with her story. And then later on, when they went to court, the teenager changed her story, and my physical exam justified that.
Wow. So when you started writing your book, you said it was a word vomit from start to finish. How long did it take you to write the book? All right. So how long did it take you to write the book with the word vomit, you said?
Okay. Well, I would say it probably took me about maybe 3 months, because it was my story and it was already in me. It took me 3 months to write it. Then we had to revise and edit it. And then we had to do the illustrations. So the whole process of putting together the book is a little bit longer, but actually writing the book didn't take long.
What did it feel like the first time you held a book, knowing that this was such a personal book, that this was your story that you wrote and that other people are going to read your story? How did it feel for you?
My first book, Flowetry, a collection of 108 poetic flows on life, love, and liturgical issues. I call that my baby. And that book I wrote after being medically retired. And that came out of my depression. I did not want to be retired. So that was out of my pain and suffering. And it was my third baby because I have two children. And it took me probably almost a year to write. I wrote it in the memo section of my iPhone, because I had six surgeries over 2 years. Mm-hmm. Bilateral wrist surgery. I had three surgeries on my wrist, two on my left wrist. Bilateral knee surgery and left ankle surgery. And I ended up with postoperative pericarditis after one of my surgeries. And yeah, they even called a respiratory code after 10 days post-op after my knee surgery. And I thought I was gonna die.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a rough road. And I called myself having a one-on-one to God. And I'm like, okay, Lord, this is not what we talked about. But hey, we need a do-over. This isn't what we talked about. And I began to write. And I thought I was going to write my autobiography. And I was like, I'm not a poet. What is this? I'm supposed to be writing an autobiography. This is not what we talked about. This is not what we negotiated. This is not what we planned. And I did not want to write or publish a poetry book. And my friends were like, Tiffany, you should publish this. And I was adamant in saying no. And they were like, seriously, this is good. You should publish this. And I was adamant in saying no. But I submitted it to two publishers and they both wanted to publish it. And so I said, okay, I guess I am a poet. And that's how I ended up with my first book, My Baby, Flowetry. And it is an encouraging book. And when I held it, I cried because it was encouraging, it was motivating, and I have it right here. And it's beautiful because my best friend from elementary school, she designed the cover.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, her name is Dr. Bernice Badillo. And I thought it was great that we're both doctors. And she read the book and she was like, I have the perfect cover for you. I told her what I wanted. I wanted a dove because I felt like I had broke through my depression and I was soaring. And it was something that we collaborated on as far as the cover. And it was a beautiful thing for me.
Well, since you have it there with you, is there one that you'd like to share with us? One little snippet of a poem that you'd like to share that maybe you will encourage others to go out and buy the book?
Oh, sure. Okay. Better is one of my favorite ones. Is it better yet? Do you have regret? Just keep pushing forward and through the tough road ahead of you. Sometimes this is better to see things in the rear view, out of fear of things that are straight ahead in front of you. Do not be afraid of what is to come. Only you really know where you are actually coming from. When departing a bad situation, anything better is a welcome invitation. Better is on the way. Push aside any thoughts of dismay. Yes, it will get better.
I love that. And that's also great to pair with your bad teaching book, because they are going through this at this point, but it will get better. You will be able to get through it. It's not going to define your life if you work on it and you go through therapy like you did. Correct.
Absolutely.
So when your children, when you read the book, when you wrote Bad Touching and your children got the book, have they read it, first of all? No.
My son, he cried because he's sensitive and he didn't want his mom to have gone through pain. Mm-hmm. My daughter felt a lot of empathy and she was hurt and she was angry. And they were both sad because they did not want their mom to have been hurt. And they were very and highly upset, especially by what happened in January. Mm-hmm. And they want to protect me. And I get it. I want to protect me. And all I can do is teach them how to protect themselves. And I've always taught them to say no and to scream. Mm-hmm. And I think that as adults, we need to teach our children that it is okay to scream. Mm-hmm. And it is okay to yell. And there is a time to not concede and follow the instruction of every adult. And we don't necessarily teach our children that. We teach them to comply. Yeah. And I think it's okay to say, listen, if an adult is asking you to do something you don't feel comfortable with, or they pull you into a room and there are people around, you scream, you yell, you kick, you scratch, you fight back. But we don't necessarily do that. We teach them to smile. We teach them to obey. We teach them to go along. But we do need to teach them that there are times that they don't need to do those things.
That is so true. Especially with little girls, they're taught to be ladylike. And a lot of times, I know with my girls, because I have three girls, we didn't teach them that. We taught them, you know, you speak your mind. You say what you want to say. You can be anything you want to be. If anybody gets in your way or anybody bothers you, you speak up. You tell them no. But a lot of times growing up in society when I was growing up, it was like you just smiled and children were seen and not heard. So basically you were like hushed and like, oh, okay, that happened. All right, let's push it underneath the carpet. But now I think society is more, I don't want to say susceptible, but they're more likely to receive something happening to a child and saying, okay, I believe you, as opposed to back in the olden days, okay, it might have happened, but let's just push it underneath the carpet and not address it, and let's just leave it there. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Especially with all the kids being trafficking now. And so I think we just need to speak up, speak out, and teach our children to fight back.
That is so true. Now, you said you want to kind of get this book out, but do you have any more books in you to write, you think?
Oh, absolutely. I actually have another book about to come out, and it's called Little Engine Mia Sings. And this book is about a little choo-choo train named Mia who gets bullied on the playground. And she gets bullied by another choo-choo train named Bruce. And the other choo-choo trains on the playground, they come out and they try to dissuade Bruce from bullying her. And they come out and they try to talk to him, and they come together and they collaborate essentially to dissuade each other from bullying each other. And I think in this climate, we have a lot of kids being bullied, be it social media or on the playground, and we have kids committing suicide, which is very unfortunate. And I was like, okay, what can I do? I want to make the world better one book at a time. And so this book is probably going to be released in October, November through Christian Faith Publishing. And it is hopefully going to dissuade children and educate children about bullying and let them know that they can talk to each other and talk to their parents. Because again, a lot of kids, they bully each other, but they don't talk to each other, and they don't talk to their parents. And again, they suffer in silence about that too, until it's too late.
Yep, that is so true. You keep mentioning the Christian Faith network that you're publishing through. Let's talk about how important faith is to you, because I totally can see it. It shines through you, even all your bio stuff that you sent, everything. So let's talk about how important that is, how you cling to that as well.
Well, growing up, I did not grow up in a Christian household.
Yeah, that's why I was like, I love to see how people come into their faith, because, you know, a lot of people, everybody has a different story and a different testimony.
Yes. My testimony is that I did not grow up in a Christian household. And it's funny, when I grew up, my parents were addicted to drugs. And my aunt, she's a single parent, God bless her soul, she didn't go to church. She worked like a Hebrew slave. And she was raising three kids on her own. I was, you know, she had two of her own. I was her bonus child. And I lovingly call her my momty, my mom and my auntie. And she initially was a clerk at Lucky Supermarket and worked her way up to become a manager. So she really worked hard. So she taught me that I needed to work hard. I learned my work ethic from her. But we would always have family reunions at a park. So we were always at a park. And one day there was a church ministry at a park. And I just happened to be at a playground, and the ministry was near the playground. And they had a performance, and they were playing the Winans song, Tomorrow. And it says, Jesus said, let me in. And you said, I will tomorrow. And Jesus said, here I stand. Please take my hand. And you said, I will tomorrow. And the lyrics just stuck with me. And I was like, okay, I really liked the lyrics and I liked the words. And I started listening. I was in elementary school, and I did not have a lot, but I did have a radio, and I started listening to gospel music. So gospel music drew me in to Christ. So the ministry of music is what drew me to Christ. So I listened to a lot of the Winans songs, and basically a lot of BB, a lot of CC, Winans, and that is how I found Christ. Now, my cousin, who I lovingly call my brother, my big brother, her son, he started dating a woman whom he married, and she was very religious. And I started going to church with them. And when I was in elementary school, I was baptized at a church called Newmount Calvary in Los Angeles with my cousin. And then I would kind of go on and off, and I ended up going to church, and I would volunteer, and I would go to the Christian faith club at school, and Christian fellowship club at school in junior high. And when I graduated from elementary school, I was valedictorian. And when I so I was about business. So when I went to middle school, I went to school with a briefcase because my aunt didn't stop me. So people made fun of me. They still make fun of me to this day because I'm still friends with my friend Monique. She still laughs at me for showing up to school with my little leather briefcase. And they were like, you don't have to be that serious. So I eventually cooled off and got a backpack like normal kids. But I, joined the Christian Fellowship Club, and I was very active in that. But I went to New Beginning Christian Church in Los Angeles with my cousin and his wife because he married her when I was in middle school. And that's when I would volunteer with my church, with the church mission in middle school, because again, I had the heart for service. And I was really excelling in math and science. And that's when I was like, okay, I want to be a doctor. I couldn't feed everybody. And I was like, how can I best serve people? And my faith just grew because I had a pastor who has since passed away, Dr. Well, Minister Marilyn Lovely. She wasn't necessarily a true doctor, but Minister Marilyn Lovely. And she was always saying, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can move mountains and you can do anything. And I always believed that. And she would take out a little mustard seed and she's like, do you know what a mustard seed is? And she would go to the store and she would pass out mustard seeds to everybody. And it's like, do you have this much faith? I was like, oh yeah, I have more than that much faith. And so I was like, okay, I have more faith than the size of a mustard seed. So I can move mountains. I can do anything I put my mind to. And I can become a doctor. I can do anything I put my mind to. So whatever I want to do, I can do it. I will do it. And I will succeed because I can just buy me a mustard seed and remind myself that I have faith.
I love that. I love that 100%. Now our time is almost up. Is there one little nugget before we talk about where people can find you and where they can find the book, that you want to share with people?
I would like to say that when it comes to protecting your children, the most important thing is to listen to them. Don't ignore them and don't ignore any sign that they might be abused. If they come to you and tell you something happened, please take them serious. Don't disregard it because it takes a lot of courage and a lot of strength to come forward.
Okay, that is so true. It takes kids a lot, especially if they're going against an adult that they respect a lot. So 100%. Now, the book is called Bad Touching. Where can people find it? I've got the Amazon link up on the screen, but where else can people find it at?
You can find Bad Touching on Amazon, Barnes and Nobles, Apple, iTunes, as well as Kindle. You can find it on ebook.
All right. And where can people find you at?
You can find me on Facebook at Dr. Tiffany, TiffanieTiffanie, Tate, TateMoore, as well as Instagram, Dr. Dr. Tiffany, TiffanieTiffanie, Tate, TateMoore, Moore.
And I will put in the show notes, guys, all these links where you can find her, because I know sometimes it's hard when you're listening to somebody trying to write it down and having to go back and rewind to try to make sure you got everything. So everything's going to be in the show notes, as well as the link to your first baby, your third baby, your book, because the other two babies were your children. Because I think people need to read that. I think it's a great complement to the book that you currently wrote, Bad Touching, and I cannot wait for the other one to come out as well.
Yeah, and there should be two more coming, but they'll come next year. I've written a book called Money Matters to teach children about investing and tithing, and another book to teach children about body image, that they don't need to worry about body image and healthy eating.
And you know what? When those books come out, please consider coming back on, because I would love to have you come back on, because those are very important topics that I think adults need to learn about, not just children.
Yes.
So I want to thank you so much, Dr. Tiffany, for coming on and sharing your experience and writing the book about your experience, making it so that other children don't have to live through what you lived through, and being such an activist for this and for our children, because I think a lot of people tend to like push children underneath the carpet and say, oh, this didn't happen, or they don't believe them. And so thank you so much for sharing your story and for saying your story matters as well to everybody.
Yes. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
So guys, like I said, I will put everything in the show notes where you can find Dr. Tiffany, as well as where you can find her books and her upcoming books as well. And be blessed, and most importantly, keep chatting. Bye.
Bye.
Chats from the Blog Cabin.
Hit subscribe
and don't miss the next episode.